From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio. Today, we're not going to be answering your questions, a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Tomorrow, I'll be right back here answering questions. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, as always, equip.org via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants, as always, they are standing by 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I think this is an important show because we're going to be dealing with the last words of Jesus Christ. The last words of anyone are a powerful legacy, a legacy that often reverberates across generations. However, the last words of Jesus Christ soar above all the others because he was and is Theanthropus, the God-man. Jesus Christ came into time and space so that we could know God. Paul says he's the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And he is the head of his body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him in bodily form, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And that's what is in view today, his blood shed on the cross. I'm excited about this broadcast because we're going to be talking about the last sayings of Jesus Christ. Why is that an important emphasis? Again, imagine what you would say on your deathbed, something trivial, something meaningless, or something transformational. Well, this isn't just anyone dying. This is God who has come into time and space so that we could know him, but even more, so that we could live life that is life to the full. Again, we're devoting this hour to the seven last sayings of Jesus Christ, and they're codified in a tremendous little book, a book that you can read in an hour, but could well impact you for a lifetime. The book is titled Last Words of Jesus. And the last words of Jesus are, as the subtitle puts it, First Steps to a Richer Life. And this book was written by Stu Epperson Jr. He's been a friend of mine for many years. He's founder and president of the Truth Network with radio stations across North Carolina, Central Iowa, Salt Lake City, and that's a really important station. The Truth Network also develops and syndicates programs over 300 affiliates are recognized nationwide. In his spare time, Stu hosts Truth Talk Live, his own nationally syndicated broadcast, and in his whatever time remaining, he enjoys coaching and playing the game of basketball. His passion is for all people everywhere to experience life and truth. And he lives close by in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with his wife Julie and his four daughters. And Stu, it's good to have you on the broadcast.
Hank, it's an honor to be here.
The last words of Jesus, what caused you to have the passion to write this book?
Well, I've been asked that question many times. How long have you worked on it? What led to it? I would say these words, as I started studying, they started working on me, exposing myself, my mind to the words of Christ really started changing me. I was in a small group men's Bible study we call Wednesdays in the Word, and we were just studying the Bible together, and me being the fearless leader and preparing for what would be kind of something to get us into spring, Easter season. And I just remembered the words of Christ. I remember a couple books that I had read in the past, like a long time ago, about the subject. But I hadn't studied any lately, and I started opening the Bible and trying to find them. How many things are there? What did he say? Where is it found? All these things. Aren't there some prophetic references that are pretty significant, you know? Old Testament. What about New Testament applications? And I tell you, Hank, it really got a hold of me, like intensely, like up into the wee hours of the night, just studying and reading and really reading what other godly men, I read you on the atonement of Christ and some things that other godly men like yourself and other scholars have said about this sentinel event in history, you know, the death of Jesus Christ and what those words are. And I thought, you know, so much has been made of the last words of, you know, Napoleon, MLK, famous, you know, world leaders, notorious criminals, athletes. What about, like what a great introduction, that the quote in that scripture, I was getting chill bumps as you quoted that. What about the last dying words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory?
We're talking to Stu Epperson Jr. Again, his book, Last Words of Jesus, First Steps to a Richer Life, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answers Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. You can also acquire your copy via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as mentioned before, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. You were impacted by the last words of Jesus Christ. How are they going to impact the people listening to us right now?
Well, it changes everything. You know, the subtitle, First Steps to a Richer Life, initially I kind of fought that, because I didn't want people thinking, okay, I read about Jesus, man, I'm going to have, you know, boatloads of money and all my financial problems are going to be solved. But really richer, you know, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. And that's really all I'm thinking about in this subtitle, Steps to a Richer Life, because everything changes when you come in contact with Jesus Christ. And you look at scriptures, everyone that had an encounter with Jesus was never the same. And look at everyone in this room right now, Hank, including myself. Everything, and as I studied and as I came in contact with these words, it really started working on me in a deep way.
Let's talk about some of those words. The first moniker, the first phrase that you outline are the words of Jesus Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in the chapter, you touch on the whole subject of forgiveness. Here you have the Lord of glory not calling out vengeance, but asking for forgiveness. And I couldn't help but thinking as I was reading through that chapter about what Jesus says after he teaches his disciples how to pray, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
And you think about what Jesus has been through to get to that point, all that he's taught for these years, and all those that have followed him, that have heard him teaching that, what you just shared. And some things you talk about in your book, The Prayer of Jesus. And so here in history's darkest moment, Jesus finds himself in prayer's familiar light, and it's a prayer of forgiveness. And wow, and we talk about who he's praying for, but this is interesting. Two of the seven final sayings from the cross were met with what seems like mockery. Two of those sayings were, now the fourth one, we can talk to that, you know, when they thought he was calling for Elijah, and some were maybe they were being, you know, they were joking, being sarcastic, just being flat out mean. But in this one, in the very same verse, Luke 23:34, right, Jesus Christ prays this profound prayer of forgiveness. And in that same verse, it says, and they were gambling over his clothes. So here, the Lord of glory is bleeding to redeem these cruel, brutal sinners, right there, the soldiers and everyone else who are, Father, forgive them, which we can follow that, trace that all through history. And it's a joke. It's just, it's goof-off time. And yet this profound word is coming out of the Savior's mouth, and there they are, just kind of, you know, trivial, you know, trivializing, you know. Sadly, maybe our culture a little bit is like that. Here we have God Almighty has been so gracious and merciful to us. And here we have so many opportunities for the gospel. Yet we walk around like, you know, what's, you know, nothing's going on, or like it's a big joke. And we mock God. We blaspheme God. Our culture does. Our courts do. Our politicians do. And this is exactly what was happening at the scene of the cross. Before Christ could barely get the words forgive them out of his mouth, they're gambling over his clothes. The ones he's dying to clothe with his righteousness are playing with and betting over his clothes, his earthly clothes.
Let's camp out on this for just a few moments. You think about the fact that we have been forgiven a debt that quite literally we could never repay. And if that is true, if we have been forgiven an incalculable amount, an unpayable debt, how should we then respond to others?
Oh, wow. What a great question, and what a great point in your question, because that's exactly what Jesus Christ modeled as he's hanging there. I mean, he was living forgiveness, and he was literally forgiving us in that very moment. And so that's the reality. Those that are forgiven are forgivers. How can we not be? And I'll tell you, I wrestled with this in my soul. I was putting the kids to bed. This was probably just about a year into the project. And I was laying with little Cub, just praying with him as I do every night, and I just hit a wall because someone had really brutally attacked our family, like just malicious and just completely unwarranted and wrong. And I had anger in my heart, Hank, toward that person. I had bitterness and unforgiveness. And I'm sitting there saying, Lord, now I just wrote a book, and the manuscript's being fine-tuned, it's about to come out, about forgiveness. The first chapter is forgiveness. Why am I being plagued with this? Why is this person in my life, and why is this, here I am trying to put my little girls to bed, and by then they've drifted off, and I'm having this prayer wrestling match with the Lord. And in that moment, I just started praying these words of Christ. And in that moment, the Lord, in my spirit, like kind of took me there to the scene of the cross, and took that person who had offended me to the scene of the cross, and I saw them through different eyes. And I'm telling you, there was a release. I'm kind of getting chills talking about it right now. There was a release in my spirit, and like a peace and like a love for that person that is supernatural that I can't explain. When I started to think about what I did to Jesus, how I stood at that cross, and I put him on that cross, and this individual was someone for which Jesus Christ shed his blood, and it's in ignorance. You know, they know not what they do. What does it say? In ignorance, they crucify the Lord of glory. You know, Peter rebukes them in this great sermon of Pentecost. You brutally killed him in ignorance. See? And the Lord just convicted me in that moment. And it really was just kind of a flood of his peace came on. but it was, this is a process, Hank. You know, this is, we all have these issues of unforgiveness in our life, and at the cross of Calvary, are we willing to confront them where the Savior hung in our stead?
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about another transcendently important moniker. Jesus Christ spoke the words, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What does it mean to be with God in paradise? Is that not everything we long and hope for? Back with more on the other side of the break. Please don't touch that dial. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, and we'll be taking your calls again tomorrow.
G.K. Chesterton said, "There are only two kinds of people, those who accept dogma and know it, and those who accept dogma and don't know it." Truth is, we must never surrender critical thought to dogmas of our age, whether scientific or religious, especially with respect to the dogmas of naturalistic evolution. God's Crime Scene, a new book by J. Warner Wallace, presents cosmological, biological, mental, and moral evidence not only to refute naturalistic evolutionary dogma, but to establish beyond reasonable doubt that God exists. Receive God's Crime Scene. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe as our thank you for supporting CRI's life-changing outreaches by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, a Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, "The new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them." Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, a Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. G.K. Chesterton remarked, "It is absurd for the evolutionist to complain that it is unthinkable for an admittedly unthinkable God to make everything out of nothing, and then pretend that it is more thinkable that nothing should turn itself into everything. It is pure folly to embrace atheism's dogma of evolutionary naturalism." There is, however, an alternative to atheism. The book God's Crime Scene by J. Warner Wallace examines evidence for belief in a divinely created universe. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And a quick reminder that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation for your support, you'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books. I'll personalize it to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, that's equip.org/donate. Today, we're talking to Stu Epperson Jr. about his book titled Last Words of Jesus, First Steps to a Richer or a Fuller Life. And Stu, one of the things I say over and over again on the broadcast is that life and truth matter. As Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This book is about truth, but it is really about the inculcation of life, so that we might not only know about Jesus Christ, but that we might experience him in a very visceral, real, tangible way. We can experience either our own energy alone, or we can experience uncreated energy, for only God is uncreated. And when that is experienced, life takes on a fuller, a richer meaning.
I couldn't agree more. And it's a very powerful thought that when God came, when God devised a plan, a powerful plan to redeem mankind, he didn't send a program, he didn't send a bunch of plans or principles. He sent a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that person is truth. So I love the maxim, life and truth, Hank. I think it's just powerful. And I really, you know, these are words of life from the source of life, Jesus Christ, the one who spoke the world into existence, is now saying some profound things in his dying moments. And it's just neat to just talk about them and to focus. It's interesting when you talk about God's word, when you just sit at dinner with someone and just pick a verse and park on it, and while you're at dinner, talk about that verse and just discuss it. It's amazing how much depth fills that conversation, because these are living words. This is a love letter from Almighty God. And I just think, and that's what I love about shows like the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because you're doing that here every day. And I just got a text from someone that says, hey, I just turned on it. What are you doing on the phone with Hank, Stu? A friend of mine in the Charlotte area is listening and is loves your show, listens all the time. So hopefully he'll still listen after today, after you have me on as a guest.
So the second thing you camp out on in the book is the words of Jesus Christ from the cross. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Of course, Jesus is talking to the thief on the cross. And you make a point in the book about three crosses, and you associate with those three crosses three P's. And I thought that was interesting, profound, and memorable.
It's very interesting. You have everyone in humanity is represented there. You know, you have the unredeemed, the redeemed, and the redeemer. And you have, it's fascinating. You drive across the countryside. I love driving across North Carolina. I love driving across the United States, and you see a lot of times three crosses. And you wonder, why three? Why not just one to represent Jesus, which, of course, some have just one. But that really does represent everyone, and everyone was there present, you know, embodying in the picture of three crosses there at the scene of the cross. And you have the worst of sinners redeemed right there in a moment by the friend of sinners.
And so here you have someone who is pardoned, and he's going to be in paradise, and he's going to be in paradise with Jesus Christ this day. In other words, he is going to experience life after life.
That's right. That's exactly right. This was really just the beginning for him. And so he was there hanging on a very similar tree of death with similar wounds to Christ in horrible agony. And you talk about the, you know, I cited you some in here about the crucifixion and the extent of it and the pain. These executioners, these Roman soldiers, were well-oiled execution machines to extract the maximum amount of pain. That's almost a direct quote from you, by the way, Hank, in the book, of their victims. And they knew which vein not to cut, and they knew exactly how to use this cat of nine tails to torture and to just bring about agony without cutting a vein or without the victim bleeding out. So here he was hanging in that state, and here he was, the first recipient of that profound prayer that we talked about in the last segment, Father, forgive them. Well, the them, I believe, was this member of ISIS, this terrorist, this thief, just a few feet away, a point-blank shot, because look at how he responded. Now, his partner in crime didn't respond the same way, and that's a tragic picture of someone so close to salvation, so close to the bread of life and the living water, but yet so far away because he wouldn't bow his heart like the second thief did.
And really have the whole picture. You have Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. On either side of him, you have thieves. One thief wanted a relationship with Jesus Christ. The other is forever a principal in the kingdom of darkness. So ultimately what you have is two kinds of kingdoms represented, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And those who respond to Jesus Christ can experience light and life for all eternity.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened to the second thief. What's interesting, and I called you when we were in, and you were giving me some gracious wisdom on this whole path of writing a book and everything. And I asked you this little trick question. How many people at the scene of the cross asked for salvation? And that's fascinating. Let that linger for a second. Because, of course, I think you got it right, actually. I think you're one of the few people, of course, what do you expect? The Bible answer man, you know? But you think about, you know, the obvious answer is one, and that's not incorrect because the second thief did, but both thieves, if you don't count the centurion's glorious confession, which, you know, happened after Christ was dead, if you don't count that, which wasn't a request for salvation, but a great confession of who Christ is, surely this is, you know, the Son of God. But listen to this. The first thief asked for salvation. And in the book, I analyze those two prayers, and it's really almost a picture of how pseudo-Christianity is a lot of things that you really, you know, make straight on this show, Hank, because the first thief said, if you're the Christ, defiantly, blasphemously, save yourself, and then here it comes, and save us. So therein lies all kinds of issues and all kinds of deceit throughout the ages. First of all, asking, you know, trying to short-circuit the whole crucifixion, save yourself. Who else tried to do that? You know, Peter did. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan did, Matthew 4, Luke 4, in the temptation, and all kinds of other folks, don't do this. You don't need to go through with this. You know, this is you know, trying to short-circuit the miraculous, amazing grace, redemptive work of Christ. So save yourself and then save us. So he really wanted out of his fix. He didn't want the bloodied, undignified, crucified Jesus Christ. He wanted off his cross. He wanted out of his mess. And he said, save us, which is this kind of pluralistic, like, and I quote the famous country preacher in here, who says God doesn't have any grandchildren, you know, because that's kind of what we think. Well, I kind of grew up in a Christian home, and I go to church, so that must make me a Christian. So that thief said, "Save us," kind of like a general call, when we know that you must come to Christ through your own, you know, will, and you must bow your own knee to Him. So everything was wrong about that first thief's prayer, and everything was, I would say, wrong according to most gospel tracts about the second thief's prayer. You know, if you forensically look at that second prayer, because, I mean, when is Billy Graham going to say that when he leads in a prayer? If you want to receive Christ, pray this prayer. He doesn't say, you know, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's not like the refined sinner's prayer that we're used to, or that we would ever use on a radio show like this. But that's what this guy prayed. Though he was high and lifted up on his same tree of death, his heart was bowed low before the Lord of glory. And he said, "Lord." How about that? Romans 10:9. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, remember me." Maybe just a trivial word to someone, but when you're Joseph in prison, the word "remember me" is what saved you when you tell that to the cupbearer and the baker. Because if the cupbearer didn't remember him, a whole nation perishes, right? "Remember me." The last person to use the words "remember me" was who in the scriptures? The night before in the upper room. "Remember me when you take my body and my blood," the bread and the wine, as he held up that chalice. And here, the very next person in Holy Scripture to say the word "remember" was this dying thief. When, not if, when you come into your kingdom. So he confessed with his mouth Jesus was Lord. He believed in his heart that God would raise him from the dead. He knew there was a miraculous king. He saw that rough-hewn shingle above his head, King of the Jews. He heard him forgive and pour out love and supernatural grace upon his tormentors. And he called out to him, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He knew the king had a kingdom, and he wanted to join him there with all his heart.
Dr. Stu Epperson, Jr., again, the book, it's titled The Last Words of Jesus, First Steps to a Richer Life. It is a book that you can read in an hour, but there are questions for reflection. There are pastors who could utilize many of the texts that are given at the end of every chapter. People in all walks of life can benefit from contemplating these words. The book available for your gift, your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our outreach is around the world. You can acquire your book online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Do remember, the Christian Research Journal, if you have not subscribed, a brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal out right now. It is available. You can find it online at equip.org. Also, you can subscribe free of charge to the Equip newsletter. You can find that again on our website at equip.org, or you can write me. Again, the address, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can just pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Do remember, tomorrow, be right back here answering your questions live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. I'm back in just a few moments with more.
Hank Hanegraaff says Sherlock Holmes has nothing on J. Warner Wallace. In his new book, God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe. Wallace uses the tools of a world-class homicide detective to discern whether or not clues point in the direction of a divine intruder. The reader can almost hear the words, "Elementary, my dear Watson," as Wallace evaluates the powerful evidence for cosmic design. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism and, just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches, or visit equip.org. When it comes to engaging with highly educated secularists, skeptics, and flat-out atheists, no Christian desires to enter intellectual, philosophical, and theological engagements untrained. As a way of equipping you to stand faithfully and fruitfully for Jesus Christ and biblical truth, the Christian Research Institute is offering J. Warner Wallace's book, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're talking to Stu Epperson Jr. today about his book, Last Words of Jesus, First Steps to a Richer Life. Stu in the book deals with these words, "One, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," a word of prayer. And then a word of pardon, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Of course, the words of Jesus Christ spoken to the thief on the cross. And then the words, and we're going to camp out on this for just a few moments, in a minute or so, "Woman, behold thy son. Disciple, behold thy mother." Words of paternity. And then the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Words of pain. And then the word of passion, I thirst, followed by it is finished, tetelestai, secular Koine Greek, the street language of the day. The debt has been paid in full. And finally, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Again, the sayings of Jesus Christ from the cross, last words of Jesus, first steps to a richer life, available for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Lance Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. You can get your copy in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And don't forget our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Stu Epperson, as mentioned earlier, is founder and president of the Truth Network, and he's got radio stations all over the world, but some of the most significant radio stations in Salt Lake City, Utah, or in Utah in general, and that has been a very fruitful mission field.
The Lord's really working out there. It's really, really neat to see what God's doing. A big hello to Russ and Tammy and their wonderful family out there. Beautiful area of the country, one of my favorite places to visit. And it's interesting how many people listen to AM 820 and 95.3 FM just to hear the Word of God taught. There's no agenda or anger. Well, I guess there is an agenda, right? We all have an agenda. We have the greatest news of all time, right? That Jesus Christ set us free from the law of sin and death. But it's really neat to see how it's been received out there. Wonderful friends, wonderful pastors, churches, and so many people that don't know Christ, or maybe that think that have a form of godliness but deny its power, you know, like 2 Timothy 3 says, are hearing about the true Jesus from the true book, the Bible, and turning to Him. And that's, can anything be more exciting, Hank?
So. Talk about the power of radio. I mean, it's a very, very personal medium. We receive letters all the time, people coming to faith in Christ, people being built up in the faith, people learning discernment skills. But I find that when I travel throughout the country and I meet people, it's like I'm meeting a friend. They say, you know, I feel like I've known you all my life.
Hmm. Very personal. People listen and they're touched. And I love it. I absolutely love being on the air. I'm sometimes more used to interviewing than being interviewed, but it's a powerful medium. It can be powerful for evil too. It can be powerful for bad things. And what's nice, a lot of people tell us, is when they listen to Christian radio, it really lifts their spirits, lifts their soul, feeds their soul, and really helps them in this crazy chaotic time where there's so much bad stuff out there. Helps them keep their focus on Jesus Christ and on the good news, and also helps them remind them to share that with someone else. Some folks won't go to church, and they won't listen to a loudmouth, big, tall basketball guy like me tell them about Jesus, but they'll turn that radio on in the privacy of their car, and they might just hear about a Savior who can change their life.
Back to the book, the words of Jesus Christ from the cross, "Woman, behold thy son." And then to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." A lot of people, when they hear the words "woman," they think that Jesus Christ, in some way, some form, some fashion, is treating his mother in an impersonal way. And yet, this is the ultimate of respect that Jesus is showing to his mother, contrasting the woman who was deceived with the woman who conceived a son who provided salvation for the sins of the world. That contrast, the mother of all redeemed, in a sense, because it is through her that redemption came into the world. We can venerate her, we can't worship her, but she is a chosen vessel of God. And even in his passion on the cross, he had a great sense of the presence of his mother.
He sure did. And it's interesting how many moms have lost and gained a son in the same day, in the same moment. And she who bore him in Bethlehem is now watching him bear her sin and that of the whole world. So there are some real supernatural things happening there, but that he would take time, most of us in pain and anguish, if you think about your children, when they're hurting, they scream out for mama. Hank, they don't just run to daddy all the time, do they? You know, I love my four daughters, Hope, Grace, Joy, and Faith. And when they're sideways or off the bike, skin their knee, they run straight for mama. And sons are like that. There's a unique bond between a son and his mother. And here, Jesus Christ, in the greatest anguish, the greatest pain in history, because he's bearing our pain, doesn't call out and cry for his mom to help him, yet he gives out amazing compassion on her and gives her, as a firstborn Levitical son should, gives her another son. And it's kind of fascinating. It's almost a picture of the body of Christ. As Christ's physical body is being just destroyed on that cross, his spiritual body is being formed right there. And after, by the way, after studying this and writing about it in this book, Hank, I really take more seriously when I say, hey, brother, in Christ, this idea of we have spiritual moms and spiritual dads. If you don't have children, be a spiritual mother to someone. Be a spiritual dad to someone, because in Christ, the blood that connects us is far deeper and far more powerful and far more supernatural than biological blood. And I can prove it, because there are people I am so much more closer to in Christ than I've ever been to physical family. Isn't that something? Look at, where was Jesus' physical family? Only one of them showed up there at the scene, you know, and his disciples are wheels up. Everyone's forsaken, but there's mom. There's a fascinating verse in St. John 19, the same chapter, the same place where we have these words of Christ. It says, and there, standing by the cross of Christ, was his mother. Just standing. Think about all the moms that stand at the soccer field, that stand for hours, that stand just for us, and how much love. What a deal. Moms, just what a God-given gift. And there she is standing for hours, watching her son, watching the Son of God and God the Son, be executed in such a horrific way. And here he pours out his love on her and gives her another son. And that changed the game for the early church. So a lot of things are happening. Of course, I also call it social justice from the cross, because there's a real sense in which Mary represents widows and John, in a sense, represents orphans. And isn't it neat how the body of Christ connects widows and orphans? James 1 has a very strong, those that espouse true religion, hey, they're to care for the widow and the fatherless. And so there at the cross, Jesus Christ is living that right there, and he's pouring that love out right there upon Mary and upon John.
You can be very excited about moms, because you have a very special mom. Yes, I interviewed her on the broadcast a number of years ago on the whole issue of memorization, and that's one of the impacts and formative experiences in your own life.
It sure is. The Word of God from being a little lad, even when I didn't know what was going on and understand it, that I had parents, and particularly a mom, who memorized Scripture and would quote us Scripture as we went to bed every night. And she goes out to this day, and she goes out in the pool and does her little floating. She calls it quoting and floating. And I've seen her lead people to Christ in that pool by just teaching them John 3:16. It's just, but the Word of God is so powerful. And so the Lord's used her, and that was great that you had her on your show. And but the really, Dick Bott Broadcasting, who carries a lot of your program, a lot of their stations. Hey, Uncle Dick asked me on his show once about the impact about my mom and Scripture on this book. And I thought, wow, I'm glad you asked me that, because I need to give credit where credit is due. Because without that heritage of a mom and a dad that poured God's Word into me, I don't know where I'd be today.
It is finished. I only have 3 minutes left, and I don't want to complete the show without really touching on those words, "It is finished." It's not only that Jesus Christ paid the debt in full, he completed the work that the Father had given him, but this has real application to our lives. I mean, we ought to think every single day, am I working towards the task that Christ has given me? Because we only have one life,
right?
And we know all too well, soon it will be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last.
Absolutely right. What a great statement. I call it the greatest closing statement of all time. No welterweight world champion belt, no Super Bowl ring, nothing ever can best what the Savior of the world did on Calvary. And he cried out with this great statement of freedom. The ransom has been paid. The debt of sin has been paid. A statement of victory over sin, over hell, over death. A great, you know, the bondage has been broken. And in those words, it is finished. We really have a great statement of everything we couldn't do. All the things we've procrastinated. I talk about in the chapter. We can't finish anything. And those that think they can, there's this always elusive. For the unbeliever, you're trying to earn God's favor through religion and through effort. For the believer, there's so many Christians walking around in bondage, Hank, because they Christ has set me free, and sure, I'm redeemed and saved by His grace, but I'm still trying to earn a spot on the roster. And Jesus says, it's done. I have earned your spot. Now come and abide in me and follow me and live in me and in my behavior, in my performance. So often we become performance oriented. If I do more and do more, God's going to like me more. Where Jesus Christ gave the ultimate performance, and He invites us to come and live with Him and experience His grace, experience His finished work, which should propel us into this amazing fruit-bearing life that is, like you started off saying, that is so short and goes by so fast. What am I doing to share His finished work with a world that's desperately, desperately working their way right to hell when Jesus worked His work on the cross to offer heaven and life and eternity?
Stu Epperson Jr., and the work is a work well worth reading. It's entitled The Last Words of Jesus, First Steps to a Richer Life. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, the last words of anyone are a powerful legacy, but the last words of Jesus are so much more significant because of who He is. He is the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, the book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. You can acquire your copy in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back here tomorrow with answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go.
So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.